Praise the Lord. God is good all the time. And all the time God is good. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I want to share with you this morning, and I know you know this, but I want to just say that I think it's more prevalent today because of some things that have gone on, things that have happened, but also because of the message that it's not what you feel, it's not what you see, it's what you know. Or if you like it better, who you know. Amen? Hallelujah. See, when you know Jesus, your perspective changes. Or it should. Amen? I left here last week, or Wednesday night, I guess I should say, with something on my heart. And that's what the message is about this morning. God really began to show me some deep things concerning this subject. And I'm excited. But the point is, in no matter what our circumstances are, you'll know where you're at by what your outlook is about where you're at. By what you confess out of your mouth. Amen. Amen. And if we know God, then He says He's our provider. And if we know God, He says He meets our needs according to His riches and glory, and He knows what we need before we ask. Amen? And sometimes it's a heart change that needs to take place. How many know that? And this morning we want to talk about that. Like I say, I believe God's given me some deeper insight, and I just want to share with you about that. But this morning I know the Lord, and I know the Lord is able. Did you hear me? I said He's able. That's right. There you go. See, I like that. And that's right. He is more than able. Exceedingly, He's able to provide and do exceedingly abundantly above what we could even think or ask. Amen? Glory to God. Let's give Him praise this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are. Thank you for paying the price. For paying the price. It's done. It's finished. Thank you for giving us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Thank you for healing us. Thank you for causing abundance in our life. Blessing, finances. Thank you this morning, Lord. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for your goodness and your excellent works, Lord. We thank you that you are more than enough and that you're able, Lord. We receive from you this morning the things that you have for us. We yield to you our attention and our hearts, Lord, so that you can minister to us, cause change, direction, and correction in our lives. In Jesus' name, we give you glory and honor. And Holy Spirit, once again, we say, we invite you in. You are in control. And we ask you and trust you to bring our Father's will into this place today. In Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we honor your word this morning. We thank you for your word. We give place to your word this morning. Change us, direct us, correct us. Build us up, edify us, comfort us in love, Lord, and in your word. We thank you, Lord, you are the living word. And now we receive your word. And we give you praise and thanks for what it accomplishes in our life. In Jesus' name, hide me behind the cross. We give you glory and honor, not man. And we want to hear from you this morning. We want to hear your thoughts. But Lord, in that also, we want you to declare our thoughts and reveal in us the things that need to be changed in our lives. and bring us and change us into your image and likeness. Conform us to your image and likeness in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When I was here Wednesday night, I found a struggle going on over some thoughts that I was having. I wasn't happy with the thoughts that I had. I was uncomfortable because I knew that wasn't the way Jesus thought. For those of you who know my background, you know that I have a tendency to be just a little bit suspicious sometimes. Sometimes I make judgments, or have made judgments in the past on appearance, and that's not good. That's not good. And God began to deal with me and show me the treachery that comes from an evil heart. Now, before y'all take a deep breath and have a coronary, let me just say, what I mean by the treachery is the things in our heart that don't reveal the love of God and don't reveal who Jesus is, but reveal the thoughts and ideas that we have in our lives that have been given to us by things we've experienced, or the way we were brought up, or the things that we've, well, experience is a good word. And so what I want to do is I want those things changed in my life. I want to be conformed to the image and the likeness of Jesus. Amen? Amen? Amen. And as I began to think about this, God began to deal with my heart, and I began to see some things and have a deeper understanding of and go deeper into the study of this subject. It's one we've probably covered at least two or three times, but I think it's good because I think I see a little clearer and understand some things a little better than I did. And maybe with the help of the Holy Spirit, well, there's no maybe about it, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I'll be able to declare those thoughts to you as God, by the Holy Spirit, declares them to me. And you'll receive something that you'll be able to take out of here that's tangible, not just ho-hum, another message. Amen? How many want to be changed by the Word? Amen. I do. Turn with me, if you will, to Jeremiah 17, verse 9, and then verse 14. Jeremiah 17, 9, and then verse 14. The heart, or the mind, the will, and the emotions, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And then verse 14 says, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise." Now, when God exposed what I'm going to call a wicked heart in the thoughts that I was having Wednesday night, it wasn't, sometimes we have thoughts and we don't even think about where they come from or what the motivation behind it is. But God arrested me. Why did I feel that way? Jesus was filled with compassion. He operated in compassion. He never turned anybody away. In fact, that's one of the things they tried to accuse him of being around those who were less lovely than I or than themselves. Amen? Amen. And so I began to look at this and I began to see exactly what God's saying in verse 9. That word deceitful in the Strong's means the heart is sly, insidious, or slippery. That's what deceitful means. And that word insidious, I find that an interesting word. Here's what Merriam-Webster says about insidious. It says, awaiting a chance to entrap. How many remember the scripture that talks about how the enemies lie in wait to shed innocent blood, to shed yours and my blood? Awaiting a chance to entrap, or treacherous. I'd say that's pretty treacherous, wouldn't you? Here's the evilness of the heart and the deceitfulness. It's harmful, but it's enticing. I don't know if we get a sense of power by some of the thoughts we have or what, but or whether it's just something where we try to elevate ourselves, take our mind off of who and what we are, and then at the expense of other people. Or basically, we can put it like this, it's seductive. Harmful but enticing, or seductive. Another part of it is developing You know, the deceitfulness develops so gradually as to be well established before becoming apparent. Wow. Wow. These things sneak up on us. You know, Harry and I were having a discussion this morning. We were talking about angels and demons. And I saw a movie yesterday on the Daystar channel. I don't normally watch those things, y'all know that. But it was a movie about end time events. And I'm sure Jack Van Impe had something, or a big role in that film, because he was featured in that film, he and his wife. But the point is, it's the deceitfulness where Satan is, and he did this in heaven. That's why he was cast out. How many know that? Elevate himself above God. And God said, well, we're not going to have that here, because it was wrong. And he threw him out of heaven. But that is still inherent. And that's why, that's one of the very reasons why we need to have Jesus in our life. To transform our thinking and to wash our mind and to cleanse our mind and our hearts. How many know the heart is the mind, the will, and the emotions? It's the seat of appetites. Amen? And so we need to have that cleansed. See, that heart is deceitful. The thoughts that I were thinking, what I was thinking, it fit in that very well. Developing so gradually as to be well established, not just established, but well established before becoming apparent. And at that moment, when God checked me on Wednesday night, I realized it and it became apparent to me. There's still wickedness in my heart. My heart is still deceitful. We have a tendency to want to be above other people. That's just human nature. It's the Adamic nature. How many know the human nature is not the nature of God? Amen? And then desperately wicked. That desperately wicked in the Strong's means to be weak, to be sick, to be frail, to be incurable, woeful, or very sick. Left to its own devices and left to you and I mean, it's incurable. It just continues to get, as the Bible says, wax worse and worse, or get worse and worse. Merriam-Webster says, when you've got deceitful, or when you're desperately wicked, you've lost hope. You're giving no ground for hope. You're moved by despair. And it involves or employs extreme measures in an attempt to escape defeat or frustration. Did y'all get that? Praise the Lord. Number three, is desperately wicked means suffering or extreme need or anxiety. Number four, it's involving extreme danger or possible disaster. How many of you catch yourself expecting that sometimes? You see something happen and all of a sudden you expect the worst is going to happen. And you forget who it is that's in you. I want to remind you this morning again, once again, I think I said this earlier, it's not what you know or what you see or what you feel, it's who you know. It's what you know. God says He cannot fail. He says He does not lie. He says He's the same yesterday. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? And so if that's the case, then we have nothing to fear but fear itself. How many know fear is nothing but false evidence against reality? What kind of reality? God's reality. There is no reality except God. Now I can see some of you looking at me cockeyed, but that's the truth. The Scripture says He is the way, the truth, and the life. I want to expound and say He is the only way and the only truth and the only life. And the only way we know by Scripture that we get to the Father is through Him. Amen? Amen. Desperately wicked means that wickedness is of extreme intensity, number five. And number six, it's shocking and outrageous. Sometimes even to us. And that's what happened Wednesday night to me. I found that my thoughts betrayed what was in my heart. Amen? Now, when that takes seed, then all of a sudden what's in your heart, the abundance is shown of what's in there because of what comes out of your mouth, if it's not controlled by the Spirit and the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Word of God in Hebrews 4:12 is living and powerful or active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, or you can put the word penetrating, even to the division or the separation, listen carefully, or the separation of soul and spirit. How many know that our spirit needs to be in control, not our soul? Because the soul, again, is, remember, it's the mind, will, and emotions. That's the soul nature of man. That's the heart of man, is the mind, will, and emotions, the seat of appetites and things. That needs to be controlled by the Word and the Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. Piercing even to the separation of soul and spirit, and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner. That word discerner there simply means skilled in judging. Not judging somebody else, judging yourself by the Word. Judging yourself by the Word. Now maybe it's not that you're looking at somebody else, but you're judging things in your life in a negative manner. In other words, you're operating by what you see or what you feel. You look in your checkbook and there's no money there. You look at a bill that can't be, that's not being paid. And all of a sudden, I mean, it's like, well, God, where are you? That's the wickedness of the heart. Because if you know Him and you know the Word, then what you know is He can't fail. And so you begin to speak to that situation, as we ministered last week, or a couple weeks ago, about speaking into those situations and speaking what He says and confessing with your mouth, which is literally you prophesying into your situation. Amen? Hallelujah. Prophesying into your situation. Glass isn't half full. Half empty. It's half full. Amen? And by doing that, as you confess that, when you confess with your mouth, then what happens is you begin to have the change that comes between here and here. And we're not talking about the human heart. We're talking about the Spirit. Amen? Are you with me so far? Have I lost anybody? It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the Word of God. That word discerner means to detect with the eyes, to detect with the senses, other than vision. You detect with the eyes, or you detect with the senses other than vision. You recognize or identify as separate and distinct. Or a discerner means you discriminate. That's what the Word does, is it discriminates between your soul nature and the spirit nature. Amen? God knows us after the Spirit. Why is it that God says it's what's in your heart that's important? And yet our hearts don't see things the way we should see things. That's our mind, will, and emotions. That's the soul nature of man. So discerning means discriminating. Discriminating what? Between soul and spirit. And how do we do that? By the Word of God, which is a discerner or a discriminator of soul and spirit. It separates and exposes the difference between our thoughts and what God's thoughts are. Our actions and feelings opposed to what God's feelings and actions are and would be in a situation. Amen? And because of that, sometimes we sit back and we may grumble about a neighbor. Well, that guy, I'm telling you, or that woman, I should just, man, I'll tell you, I'm not comfortable living here. When's the last time you prayed for him? Would that be the thoughts of God or the thoughts of man? God says to love your enemies. Jesus associated with those who were down and out and who needed Him. Now that doesn't mean He didn't associate with those who knew Him and those were His. We're family, amen? We're part of the family of God. We're part of the church. We're part of the bride of Christ. But the point is, He went to those people for what reason? To bring them in. Amen? To bring them in. To be the example. And all the while, the religious leaders and the pompous people who thought they had the mind of God, really, I think they lost their mind, but we're sitting there. But look at him. He's eating and associating with publicans and sinners. Well, sweetheart, I got news for you. If God hadn't associated with you when you were a publican and sinner, you wouldn't be saved today. Amen? Amen. Amen. And last, discerner means to come to know or recognize mentally, to see or understand the difference. What difference? Between soul and spirit. When you're operating in your soul nature, or your mind, will, and emotions, or you're operating in the Spirit, or the Word of God, which you can't separate the Word and the Spirit. Amen? Amen. And again, desperately wicked means suffer. Well, I've already read that, so we'll go on. I missed some of this on the other side, so I had to put it on this page in a bad place, so we'll move on. Turn with me to Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. Here's what God promises. See, I can tell you, when I had those feelings, and I'll tell you what it was. I saw some things that because of my background, because of my feelings and my education, my upbringing, whatever you want to call it. Now, I don't think I had a great education because I'm not one of those big scholars. I just know God. Amen. But as I began to think about that and began to see what was going on, God reminded me in Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4, He says, you, or basically I'm going to change it and say, I will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed or fixed on me, because you trust in me. Now I'm paraphrasing, you all can see that. And then verse 4 says, trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, and that literally means Yahweh or Jehovah, the true name of God, the Lord is everlasting strength. We don't have to stay in those places and have those thoughts continue in our lives. God's whole purpose in our life is to change us, to conform us to His image and likeness. He takes away the crud and replaces it with the things that cause us to be beautiful in His sight and to have that aroma that draws sinners. It's the aroma or the fragrance of God. Amen? Amen. The word mind in verse 3 means it's a little different than what it says in Jeremiah 17:9. In verse 3, it's the mind, you will keep him in perfect peace whose purpose and imagination. How many have imaginations that sometimes run a little wild? Get you into trouble if you let it go. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Is stayed. What does that mean? That means leans, rests, it's supported by and sustained and refreshed if we stay on Him, if we stay focused on Him. Amen? For He trusts in you. And then in verse 4, the last part says, and the Lord is everlasting strength, or Yahweh or Jehovah. Yah is everlasting strength. If you're taking notes, I've got some scriptures for you that'll talk about the strength. Psalms 18, verses 2 and 3. I'm not going to take time to read them. Psalms 19, 14. I challenge you to read them because I'll tell you, you're going to get your eyes opened. Psalms 28, verses 7 and 8. Proverbs 10, 29. Jeremiah 17:5. Number 6 is Luke 10:27. Luke 10:27. Just speak up if you miss one. I'll repeat it. Number 7 is 2 Corinthians 12:9. And number 8 is in Hebrews 11:11. And that one refers to the strength that Sarah received in her old age to be able to bear a child by the promise of God. Hallelujah. I know there's strength in God. Praise Him. Give Him praise. James 1, 23 and 24 is familiar scripture to everybody. It says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, in other words, if you hear and you don't do, You're like a man observing your natural face. In other words, you hear the word and you begin, you look, it's looking in the mirror. The word is a mirror. A mirror for what? A mirror for you to see who and what you are, not for you to put in somebody else's face and say, you're missing the mark. Oh, honey, you're not qualified. You got to see the tree removed from your eye before you can see that speck. And once again, I'm going to tell you, every day I wake up and realize that it's a lifetime process. I'm not going to wake up one of these days before I go to meet Jesus and think that I've arrived and be able to see the speck in your eye. I got a tree in my eye. Amen. So do you. It's about taking care of your life and what that does, and I can't tell you I totally understand that, but that's God's way, and His ways are higher than our ways. Amen. Amen. But what that does is that provokes people to jealousy. It shows them what the right conduct is, and it shows them the power of God and the presence of God in your life. Amen. Amen. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, the word of God. But then as soon as we put it down, if we don't hide His word in our hearts, we won't sin against Him. Then all of a sudden the next verse, verse 24, we observe ourselves, and then we go away. And then because of everything that's going on in our life and our circumstances and stuff, we immediately forget what kind of man we are. I don't care how long you've walked with God. I don't care how much knowledge you have in God. You're never going to come to the place where you've arrived. That's why we talk about running the race to win the prize. What's the prize? It's not the ribbon at the end of the race. It's winning Jesus in our place in heaven with Him. Amen? Hallelujah. That's what it's all about. And then along with James 1, 23 and 24, in Revelation 2, 17, and 2, excuse me, 2, verse 7 and verse 17, He's speaking to us, church. And individually and corporately, He's speaking to us. He says, He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes. Overcomes what? What God is showing you. And the shortcomings in your life. How do we do that? By the word and the intimacy and relationship with Jesus. With our Father. Amen? And that happens because of the Holy Spirit in us. Amen? Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him, listen carefully, who overcomes, I will give to eat. Listen, there's four different things in these scriptures I'm going to give you. There's four scriptures. They're in Revelation. But here's what it says. It says, to him who overcomes, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. That's the first promise. Meaning, you'll eat of that tree. You'll live forever. You'll be with the Lord. Amen? Verse 17 says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. And I will give him a white stone. Listen, whoo, if this doesn't excite you, we're going to raise you from the dead. Some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. How many remember the old song, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing their story, a sinner has come home. Amen? That's pre-Jesus. A white stone with your new name on it. Hallelujah. And then in Revelation chapter 3, verses 12 and 21, It must be important. He's repeated it 3 times, but he also gave 4 different promises, 4 different outcomes. Verse 12 of Revelation chapter 3 says, "He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, New Jerusalem." Ooh, praise you, Jesus. "Which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name." He'll not only give you a stone with your new name, but he'll write his new name on you. And verse 21, he says, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame." Jesus overcame? Yes. The persecution, the disdain, the anger, the displeasure of this world, his own people, his creation. "As I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." Jesus is the head, and we're the body. So where he is, we are. If we really believe him and we trust in him. What I really want you to see is how wicked and how off-putting. What do I mean, off-putting? In other words, it distracts from the Word of God and the truth of God. Our mind, will, and emotions, and our desperately wicked heart, our deceitful heart, is. As we were talking this morning, Satan had a deceitful heart. He thought he was greater than God, and he was going to let the whole world know, and the angels too. And God cast him out of heaven like lightning. Instantaneous. And that feeling is still prevalent in man who's unchanged by God's Word and by His Spirit, who have not met Jesus. It's a feeling of entitlement, feeling of pride, feeling of arrogance, feeling of elevation against other people or toward other people. That's evilness. That's wickedness in the heart. And that's part of what God wants to expose. For us to be like Jesus, we can't have that. Those are the things that keep us or alienate us from stepping out and being to people what Jesus was to the people around him, sinner or saint. Amen. If we're ever going to minister in this life, we've got to allow the Spirit of God. And I'm telling you, this is not a one-time event. Just because you hear this message today doesn't mean you're going to have a handle on it. But you're going to be one step closer. And hopefully, by this message and by the Word that God gave, and the revelation of what's here by the Holy Spirit, you're going to be able to recognize more readily and in a greater way where you're missing the mark or where you're about to make a mistake and displease Him or step out of His image and likeness. Come on now. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. We need change. We need Him. Once again, more today than we did yesterday, and we need more tomorrow than we do today. And that never stops. Do you ever stop and consider your actions or your ways? Around Haggai or Habakkuk, it says, "Consider your ways." And that's the point. As I sat here, and here I am, a man who's supposed to be filled with compassion, and yet I have these crazy thoughts. doesn't God see and God know? What I'm saying is my thoughts didn't conform to His Word and His image. My thoughts, it's like I forgot that He was in charge and that He sees everything and He's in control. He's a restorer, a reconciliator. He's a giver of life and that more abundantly. He gives to us the kingdom down here. He puts in our lives as we live for Him and as we grow in Him, the changes that need to take place so that we can be in His image and likeness. If we can get a handle or an understanding, I won't say a handle, but an understanding of the heart and some of the things that pop up that we thought, dear God, I never saw that before in my life. But all of a sudden you understand that it was wickedness. It was ungodliness. We weren't thinking about God's thoughts. We didn't have God's thoughts in whatever we were thinking. That means even things as like finances, things and situations and turmoil in our lives. God says, to whom much is given, much is required. Maybe it's a person who's wronged you. Or maybe it's the fact that you wronged somebody else and there's so much pride in your life, you can't go and say, you know what, I'm really sorry. I made a mistake. I made a mistake this morning with Harry and Jean. And I didn't just let it go saying, you know what, I apologize. I said it several times. I was sincere in my heart. I made a mistake. I made the mistake. Not them, me. And so I told them, I apologize. I'm sincerely sorry. I got mixed up. Hey, it happens. And you know what? Not one time did they chastise me or crucify me because of what I did. What's that? Oh, okay. You know what? He's not either. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's not either. And I'm grateful. How about you? Praise the Lord. If God's revealed something in your life today, won't you come into agreement with me and with the Word, with the Lord, and get rid of that today? Allow the light of God to go in and expose the treachery of your heart, your way of thinking, and the way you react to people, good or bad. Amen? Instead of operating in the sensual or the senses, let's operate in the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're ready to agree with you today. Let me just say, if there's someone here who does not know the Lord, today is the day of salvation. Make peace with God today. I'm not going to ask you to come. I'm going to ask you all to repeat after me. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess my sin. I confess my shortcoming to you. And I thank you for Jesus who came to save me. I confess my sin to you. I release it to you. I renounce it. And I accept Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. And I put myself in a place of subservience to the Lord. I want to serve you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for healing me, for saving me, for setting me free. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer and you didn't know the Lord before when you came in today, you're saved. You're saved. The old things passed away. And all things became new the moment you said, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank God that by His Spirit, and His eternal mercy. Mercy that lasts forever, according to the Word. He shows us things and works on those areas where we're missing the mark. You know, He doesn't require it all at once in our life. He didn't require it all at once. We couldn't handle that. The Bible says He works on us level by level, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And He changes us from glory to glory. He bids us, like the song says, bid me come up higher, so we can see clearly His face. Amen. If you need prayer today, please, the elders are ready, I'm ready. Don't leave here with a burden or something that you need to just cast your care on the Lord about. Cast your care on the Lord, because He cares for you. He'll take that anxiety, that worry, that fear, that fret, and He'll turn it to something good today. Amen. Can you all say amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask you, are all our hearts clear? Father, I thank You for Your Word. I still don't. Lord, I don't think I'll ever totally understand the way You do things, but Lord, I thank You that You do. I thank You that each one here is called and chosen, and that they're operating in Your calling right now, just even by just sitting here and being faithful. They're operating in Your calling and Your anointing, Lord. Bless Your people, Lord. But Lord, I thank You that every day, Lord, as we seek You, as we look to You as the author, not just the author, but the finisher of our faith, the one who works in us both to will or to have the will and then to do of Your good pleasure. We thank You that You change us. And that every day, as seed is planted, Lord, the old seed begins to take root and begins to bring forth fruit. And the new seed comes and it adds to and expands on and makes the old fruit even better. And renews that fruit in our life. Fruit of the Spirit. And more You expose the works of the flesh in our life. The idolatry, the hatred. All those things, Lord, that are works of the flesh, Lord, You expose those. And You deliver us from them. And we thank You, Lord, that in that we see Your patience. Help us to have patience like You, Lord, with ourselves and with others. Now, Lord, bless Your people. Go with Your people. Cause Your face to shine upon them. If all hearts are clear now, Lord, we thank You and we praise You for this time together. We dismiss, but before we do, Lord, we sanctify You have the fellowship and the food by Your word in this prayer and each other. And we thank You for Your provision. We thank You for meeting our needs according to Your riches. According to Your riches. Not according to our abilities. Not according to us, but according to Your riches in glory by Your Son, Christ Jesus. And we give You praise and thanks forever. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed.